Commissioner Leonard back in. Was anybody signed up for public testimony?
We did.
How many people are there?
One.
Please call that person.
Mike D.
Remind you to keep your remarks to the PDC budget.
I guess I forgot to ask how much free speech was at the budget part. I guess I thought this might be the proper place and time for
public. Want to address the budget or not?
I am addressing the budget.
Okay, no, you're not, but go ahead.
At the Portland Development Commission, when I testify over there, it's pretty cool because they don't make a statement about me testifying specifically on the item. And we actually cover a lot of stuff. So on this PDC budget, the Portland Development Commission, concerned that there's a lot of urban renewal areas and the TIF fund, the tax incremental funds, the way stuff's being spent and not being spent, and the way certain people are taxed and certain people aren't taxed. It doesn't seem like it's done properly, and it affects the community negatively. More specifically, like the fire department, for example, they don't get the local.
The fire department's not part of this budget.
How could funds that go from
Development Commission budget?
Right.
We just approved the city budget.
But the PDC, the Portland Development Commission, decides where all this money's going. Like they have.
It's not to fire Mike. Keep your remarks specific to the PDC budget.
Okay, well, I'm sure you understand how it works. I'm concerned that the Portland Development Commission has a habit of gentrifying areas that they let buildings. They have a storefront grant program, which is pretty nice, and a super storefront grant program, which is pretty nice. They let people fix their buildings and make it look good, but sometimes at the cost of gentrifying an area, whole blocks and city neighborhoods and stuff like that. I'm concerned that that they continue to let areas that have historic preserved buildings be an eyesore. So when people come up with a proposal to smash it and build a new one, that everybody's like, "Oh, that's a great idea." It's something that happens in Old Town.
What's the specific budget item you're referring to?
Talking about like the Cindy store buyout. That's not actually probably a...
It's not in this budget.
Okay, that's not... I guess one thing that happens is hotels that are historic are left to be an eyesore. PDC says it's okay, and then they end up giving it to an agency like Central City Concern. So Central City Concern does some good work, but...
Your time is up.
Thank you.
I have a motion to accept the PDC budget.
So moved.
Second.
There's Randy.
Commissioner Leonard.
Yeah, we're gonna need Commissioner Leonard for the vote for the budget to take effect immediately. He'll be in shortly.
Could someone contact his office, see if he's available? We have a motion and a second to adopt the budget, please.
Adams.
Well, I want to take this opportunity to for both the PDC budget and for the city's budget to thank Mayor Potter for his leadership, and because I was a lot of my discretionary time in recent months has been used up for another project, I also want to thank Randy Leonard and Dan Saltzman for doing really the heavy lifting on this budget. In my period of relative distraction, I think also singling out the chiefs of staff and specifically Austin Reglione and Ty Kovach for their excellent shuttle diplomacy through this has been great. OMF has continued to serve us well in this budget process. Specifically, Casey has done a great job. In terms of the substance of this budget, sadly, because of cuts in federal funding and cuts in state funding, and also because of deteriorating revenue sources, in the additional resources, the additional investments that this city council is making in important areas like affordable housing, like transportation, are simply helping us keep our head barely above water, helping us sort of maintain the status quo. So I hope that regime change happens on the federal level soon so that we can start using our local resources to be additive to an adequate amount of federal government and state government investment in the city's success. And I just underscore transportation. I want to thank the City Council for stepping forward to fill a funding gap of $2.8 million in transportation that has seen a $42 million cut in the last 7 years. That's a one-time resource, and when it goes away, it goes away. So we work outside of this process for additional revenues for transportation, both on the local level and the state level. But I want to thank the City Council for stepping up and filling the gap in this particular breach. Aye.
Leonard.
So this is the PDC budget.
The final budget vote for PDC.
Yes. Yeah. This is the first budget since the amendment passed before the voters last year, giving council authority over the Portland Development Commission budget. That is a change that I felt strongly needed to happen in order to have the PDC better reflect the values and the goals of the city. And I think that the PDC, as I told them in their committee hearing before Commissioner Sten and I, requited themselves well in this process. It was transparent. We got the information that we needed in a timely fashion. We are spending, even in the PDC budget, historic amounts on housing for people without the means to buy housing, 30% set aside in each urban renewal area. It's historic in the state and the nation that the budget of the PDC is focused on spending that much. I have seen the PDC certainly exhibit growing pains. They haven't. I am not going to anytime soon be getting a birthday card from anybody at the PDC, and I'm fine with that. Because what I recognize that in the long term, this is going to be a more nimble agency. This is going to be a more proactive agency. This is going to be a less defensive agency. This is going to be a more transparent agency. And this is going to be an agency that really puts the needs of all Portlanders first as we move into the future. And that's all I need for my satisfaction, is to see that happen. And I'm very proud of the work they did. I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge the work of Commissioner Sten before he left on this budget with me in the subcommittee, and I'm very proud to be able to support this, and I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a good budget, and it was a good process, and I want to thank PDC staff for their helpfulness, the PDC Commission, and I also want to recognize my Chief of Staff, Brendan Fenn, for all of his great work on this as well. Pleased to vote aye.
Otter.
And I want to compliment the PDC. I think you folks in the last few years have done a tremendous service to our community, and that you have resolved a lot of issues that have been sticking in the public's craw for a long time in terms of prevailing wage, how you interact with minority women and emerging small businesses, and a lot of the development issues. The PDC is a transparent agency today and will be more so into the future. And that I appreciate the work of PDC, the commissioners, as well as the staff. And so please pass along my compliments to the employees of PDC. I think they do a tremendous job and that we will, our commitment is to work with the PDC this year and to make sure that you folks fulfill your mission, but also that we assist in that. So thank you very much, and I'd like to thank the council for their support as well. Aye. Thank you. We move to the regular agenda.
We'll reconvene as the city council.
Yes, I'm adjourning the PDC budget committee, we will now do business as the city council. Please read the first item on the agenda.
Item 744, authorize intergovernmental agreement between the City of Portland and the Portland Development Commission to promote consistent legal counsel on issues of mutual concern.
I think that Commissioner Adams wanted to introduce this particular ordinance. And hard to keep you guys in the room. We're on 744, and you wanted to introduce the ordinance on the intergovernmental agreement between the City of Portland and PDC.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor, members of the City Council. The 744 just simply seeks to put some consistency to what already exists in terms of the ability of City Council to ask for information from the Portland Development Commission. This just provides for a uniform process for doing that and sort of outlines how the respective legal shops will work with each other in resolving issues related to the use of bond resources and how to ask for and get information relating to everything else that the Portland Development Commission does on behalf of the city. The legal opinions of the city attorney relating to the use of bond resources as defined in this intergovernmental agreement will be binding on both the city and on PDC, and the results of inquiries on everything else will be advisory to the Portland Development Commission. This information will be, as is already required by state law, will be a matter of public record.
Okay, is there anyone here to testify on this?
I didn't ask anyone to, unless we want Keith to come up here.
Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
We do. We have one person sign up, Mike D.
Mike, you're not going to be allowed to testify on this matter. The council provides the opportunity for public testimony so that members of the public can share information regarding specific matters pending before the council. The abuse of the opportunity for public testimony in order to speak on extraneous matters or for the purpose of hindering or delaying the council is a breach of order and decorum and will not be allowed. And I'm ruling you out of order because you've engaged in such abuse and have misused the opportunity for public testimony. So with that, unless council feels differently, is that the only person signed up?
Yes.
Please call. This is a non-emergency. It moves to a second vote. Please read items. Well,
can I say something about it before we move, while we still have the PDC here? This I think it's important to acknowledge, at least for people watching, what we're going to be voting on next week. And my interest has been from the beginning, as I made clear in my remarks relative to the PDC budget, that the PDC be transparent, open. One of the ways that I thought would make that work better would be to have the PDC attorneys be an adjunct of the city attorney's office. I try to remind myself the advice I give to others often, which is understand when you've succeeded. Sometimes you can dig yourself in so deep that you lose sight of the goal that you're trying to achieve. And when you pass the goal line, you're caught up in so much of the detail of trying to win, you neglected to see that you've actually won. I think that this is a win that this language is a win. My interest has been not necessarily that the PDC attorney work for the city attorney, but that the PDC be transparent and open and above board and cooperative. And I think this agreement achieves that. So to the extent that the PDC keeps that in the back of their mind on this and other levels as we move forward, you will find a friend and a supporter in me. To the extent that anybody might view this as an opportunity to continue business as is, which I don't think is happening, but I just want to make clear, I'll be back. And I'll be more than focused on another approach. But what I've seen in the last few months on part of the PDC, particularly I had the opportunity to go up and testify recently, Mayor Potter, I don't know if it was the last PDC meeting, Keith, if there's been one since a couple ago, and ended up being there for about 3 or 4 hours. And what I observed was really good. I saw the city attorney and the PDC attorney sitting side by side speaking to a very controversial issue on the same page. And I want to acknowledge that I observed that. I saw that they worked together. And I felt like at that meeting that we were at a place that I've been trying to get to since I've been here. So I want to acknowledge that here before we move on and thank the PDC for doing the hard work to get to the place that we are now, but don't get too comfortable. Keep pushing. Keep doing the same things you are, because we'll be watching. Thanks.
Mike, you're going to have to sit down. You're disrupting the council meeting. You're standing, and you're blocking view, so please sit down.
Is there a rule that you're...
Yes, there is. It's an order of the presiding officer. I'm the presiding officer, and I'm requiring you to sit down.
Am I required to sit down, or can I leave?
You're required. You can be excused if you wish to leave.
I do have options. Thanks.
Please read item 745.
Reappoint William June to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission for a term to expire May 31, 2011.
Mr. Saltzman.
I'm pleased to bring the reappointment of Bill June to the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. He's served one term already and had even a earlier history with the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission in its early days. But Bill's done a good job. I'm pleased to reappoint him.
Thank you. I appreciate the reappointment, and I want to compliment the city on the very high quality of the staff that supports this commission. And I'd be pleased to answer any questions you have.
Questions from the commissioners. Well, I appreciate the fact that you serve on the committee, and it's really important to the city. Every time I turn on cable, I realize how important that is to people to be able to watch city council meetings, to be able to actually provide education, entertainment. So I appreciate what you folks do.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
No, the same order applies as before.
What?
The same order applies as before.
Why is that?
This is a report. I need a motion to accept.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. I have to leave at noon. Would it be possible if we proceed with the emergency ordinances first so we can get to those?
Sure.
The first emergency ordinance is item 747. Please read 747.
Increased wage rate for parking meter technician and parking meter technician lead classifications under the District Council of Trade Union Labor Agreement, Article 26.5.
Staff?
Mayor Potter, Council. My name is Steve Herron, Labor Relations Manager. This matter arises out of a revision to the job duties and responsibilities for the parking meter techs that was necessitated by the move to the new pay stations. Class Comp and BHR reviewed the existing job duties, concluded that the scope of work had actually changed and provided notification to DCTU of the intention to change the job responsibility description. DCTU requested to bargain the wage rates, and that was undertaken in January of 06. Bargaining broke off in late 06. We resumed that we resumed discussions about resuming bargaining in late 07 and undertook bargaining again. The first round of bargaining had gone to a mediation and unfortunately had been protracted. The parties have reached an agreement on a revision to the wage schedule for the parking meter tech and parking meter tech lead classifications. The settlement is set out in the packet. The new and revised duties warrant an increase of 5% to the classification rate over what it previously had been. And on the
sorry, Steve, we have a number of emergency ordinances. Could you just get to the bottom line?
You bet.
Yeah.
We're requesting approval of authorization to execute a labor agreement authorizing this change.
Thank you.
Questions? Sir, could you please take your seat? Anybody sent to testify on this matter?
Mike D requested to speak.
Same thing. Please call the vote.
Can you state it again?
Excuse me.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 748.
Authorize a supplemental settlement agreement with the Portland Police Association to provide for disbursement of funds pursuant to elevation of a previously authorized settlement for continuation of benefits under Clause 49.2 of the labor agreement.
Thank you. In early 06, there was a settlement agreement. It authorized, it established how particular language in the police union contract would be interpreted. It established a identified number of claims that needed to be reviewed. All of those were reviewed, save one. Documentation was still being collected. This is a supplementation of that prior settlement, adding this individual to the approval because this individual's claim has now been thoroughly reviewed, the documentation's been reviewed and deemed established.
Okay. Questions from the council? Anyone signed up to testify other than Mike D?
No one else.
Call the vote.
What's causing all these people to get hurt?
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 749.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Excuse me. She has to read it first.
My apology.
Authorize a letter of agreement with the Portland Police Association to extend pilot project resolution of the Grand Floral Parade distribution of overtime dispute to the 2008 Rose Festival.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Please state your name.
My name is Steve Herron, Labor Relations Manager. This matter is an agreement whereby dispute related to assignment of overtime is addressed in advance, and it relates to assignment of redetailing of senior officers to the Rose Festival Parade and assignment of overtime to junior officers, and a dispute between the city and the association, police association, over the seniority rights and the distribution of that, and it's a resolution in anticipation of that, which has been an ongoing dispute.
Questions from the commissioners? Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter other than Mike D?
No one else signed up.
Call the vote. Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Item 750.
Authorize a labor agreement with the Portland Firefighters Association, Local 43, for terms and conditions of employment of represented employees in the bargaining unit.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is Yvonne Decker, and I'm the Director for the Bureau of Human Resources. We began bargaining with PFFA in March of 07. We concluded that in August of 07, August 31st. Even though both parties declared impasse, we continued to work on trying to reach a successor agreement. In May of 08, PFFA overwhelmingly ratified a tentative agreement that we had signed. It's a good agreement. It's good for the city. I think it's also good for the local. I'm here today to recommend that the council ratifies this tentative agreement on behalf of the city. Just as a quick overview, so that council understands some of the highlights of the tentative agreement, it is a three-year tentative agreement that will have the contract period will go from July 1st of 2007 to June 30th of 2010. It calls for a COLA increase of 2.7 for fiscal year 07-08, a COLA increase of 3.8 for fiscal year 08-09, and a CPI increase of with a floor of 2% and a ceiling of 5% for fiscal year 09-2010. It also calls for a total increase premium for apparatus operation with 2% being effective July 1, retro back to July 1 of 07, and an additional percent being effective July 1 of 08 for a total of 3% for all local members who maintain a valid driver's license and their apparatus state certification. There are three additional premiums for land-based, water-based, and dive teams of 6% each. We have a standby. We moved our standby pay from the minimum wage when it was $4.75 to the current minimum wage of $7.80. And we also adjusted our longevity to a similar longevity as police, which is 2% at 15 years, 4% at 20 years, and 6% at 25 years of top firefighters. And then we have some other minor adjustments that we made to the contract and some changes in language. I think that it was a long time getting here, but we got there. I think we're now moving in a positive direction as far as implementing, being able to implement this agreement once council ratifies it. And once again, I recommend that council ratifies this agreement.
Ken, would you like to say anything?
Ken Burns, Portland Firefighter Association president, and I'll keep my comments brief. I have a busy schedule. I just wanted to take time today to thank everybody involved in this negotiation process. The Portland Firefighters Association members appreciate the hard work and determination that took from everybody to come to an agreement. The process basically did take a long time. There was some movement on both parties, but arbitration did not happen because we continued to communicate. We continued to look for alternative ways to come to a mutual agreement, and we all appreciate that. Portland firefighters will continue to serve the citizens in a safe and effective manner, and we appreciate you taking the time today to consider ratifying our contract. And then on a personal note, I would like to thank Ms. Deckard and Mr. Heron for their efforts during the negotiation process. And I would also like to thank Commissioner Sten, who was a critical component in the process early on, and also Commissioner Leonard, which his participation was also very critical to the success of reaching an agreement.
Thank you, Ken.
Ken, do you apologize for the inappropriate tone and demeanor of your correspondence to Commissioner Sten on his last day of office?
Commissioner Sten received an email from me about, on Monday, I believe. His last day was on Friday, and I emailed him, and I spoke to him that following week, and apologized for what appeared to be a disrespectful demeanor. It really was not intended. That was a 5 o'clock in the morning email.
I accept that as well. Thanks. I appreciate that. That's very much appreciated by all of us.
Other questions from the council? Is there anyone testifying?
No one else besides Mike D. signed up.
Okay. Let's call the vote.
We have an amended page to the ordinance.
Okay. Just a minute. I don't have.
What are you asking?
That's the financial impact statement. Okay. We were just going to put that as a revised.
Thank you. Okay.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, to our team, thank you. To Ken and Ed and the firefighter team, thank you as well. It's great to get this done. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, I guess this is more on a personal note. I don't think I've changed from the day that days from when I was a firefighter to today, although there were a couple times during this process I had to ask myself, have I changed, and not been aware of it. But I don't think so. I mean, I honestly believe this is one of the most proactive, best agreements for firefighters in this city ever, under anybody's tenure, present company included, as president of the firefighters. And so I'm really proud to support this. I very much appreciate your remarks here today. I think it allows us to start a new beginning. You have friends up here, which has been the hard part for me. I mean, these are all friends of all labor, but particularly firefighters and police, if I might say. You have a group of people here who want to do well by firefighters, not even for any political favor, other than we viscerally believe it's the right thing to do, and it's been hard getting through this, knowing that that exists on this side, and with BHR, for that matter, Yvonne and Steve as well. I appreciate your help. So I really think this is a great agreement and provides firefighters in this city what they deserve, which is first-rate pay, respectable hours, great health benefits, great working environment. And we're all here to make sure that that happens. And I'm really happy to get to this point and to be able to support this. Aye.
Saltzman.
Yes, I'm pleased to support this agreement. I think it's much, I want to thank our labor relations, the firefighters union, the city council. I know this was, you know, perhaps headed for an arbitration, which probably wouldn't have served any of us that well. So it's good to work this agreement out. I think it's a fair and it's a good agreement. So I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Potter.
I want to thank both sides as well. I appreciate the fact that you stuck with it. It certainly will make the job for the incoming fire commissioner a little bit easier, start his job next week. So, and I think, you know, we owe it to our firefighters to make sure that they're treated fair and that they're taken care of. So I vote aye. Next emergency item is 753.
Authorize a grant to the Portland Rose Festival Association to support placement of temporary restrooms, additional seating, and related activities along the parade route.
Commissioner Leonard?
753. This is to authorize disbursement of the funds, I believe, to support, and we're adding 313 restrooms along the Rose Festival parade route. So we've gone from zero to 313, and as apparently is becoming clear to the entire community now, I love restrooms, and I think that this
check
is
them all out, right?
I do. I may use each of the 313 on the Rose Festival day, by the way, I just think it is a real, this whole debate in this last year has been healthy, as oftentimes they end up being when it appears otherwise, because what it's allowed for us to do is recognize parades are not comfortable places for people to go, notwithstanding the duct tape issue, because of a lack of certain basic needs that this helps fill. So I'm really happy we're at this place and look forward to this ongoing relationship with the Rose Festival Association to continue our support of these kinds of activities, including restrooms. Thank you.
Anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
We have three people signed up. We have Mike D., Katie Nielsen, and Robert Archambault.
I want to remind the people coming up to testify that you're required to testify to the specific issue. It's a determined, no, Mike, you're not going to testify again. I've already given you the chance, and you blew it. I'll let tell these other two folks is that you speak to the specific issue. If it's my perception, Mike, you're not allowed to testify.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. If it's my understanding that you're trying to obstruct or delay the operations of the city council, I will rule you out of order and not allow you to testify. So you have to testify to the specific issue at hand, and you're limited to 3 minutes. State your name for the record. Anyone can start.
I feel like we're being targeted as like criminals, even though we're citizens just here concerned and wanting to share information about these issues.
Well, so. It's not the issues, it's one issue. It's the fire union's contract. The Rose Festival Association regarding the temporary restrooms.
I'll speak following Mike.
No, you're not. He's not going to speak. So you can either speak or you don't speak.
Why are you so rude? Okay. Well, the reason I have to, the reason I came up here, goodness gracious, was because I think it's interesting that we are so interested in providing bathrooms for housed people on the streets during a parade when bodily functions, human basic needs, just as you said, are really important, and we're not looking at the emergency of the homeless that are out there right now. You guys promised bathrooms and day centers and let's see, what else, benches that you haven't come through with. So wondering why we're so interested in offering bathrooms to house people. I also think it's really interesting that if we did have some sort of natural disaster, we would make a way to house people who have been previously housed, but the disaster, the natural disaster of current homelessness is not important to you, I guess. So what's the immediate answer, I guess, is my question. If you have victims of hurricanes who had houses, you'll find somewhere for them to sleep. If you have, I think that there's actually
address the specific issue at hand, which are the restrooms along the parade route. That's what we're voting on. That's what you can testify.
Right. To. So I think that if you're able to find some money for the house, for the bathrooms on the parade route, that you should be able to find some money to provide bathrooms for folks in Old Town or all through the city. I don't think it should be something that happens 2 years down the road. So I just think it's very reflective of this council that you're more interested in. It's a class issue, serving the people to make who are already comfortable sleeping there 8 hours a night or whatever in their houses and who have access to bathrooms but not being willing to service the people who don't have access to restrooms and to also make that actually a crime for people to have to use the restroom and have to go behind a bush, and then you're going to ticket them or cite them for money that they don't have. So I just think it's very, reflective of the classism that's involved in all of this.
You said everything I was thinking.
Okay. And my name is Katie Nilsson, by the way.
Emergency, please call the vote.
Adams.
Folks are,
he hasn't spoken yet.
I thought he said that you said everything.
Pretty much.
Do you want to
okay.
say something?
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes.
No, you folks are done. Thank you.
Adams?
He has 3 minutes, sir.
He said you said everything.
You want to say 3 minutes?
No. Excuse me. He can do his own talking, not you.
Go ahead, man. Speak with your
He's still got 2 minutes and 27 seconds.
Excuse me. What did you want to say?
I got you.
Okay,
it's
cool.
I got you.
Please return to your seats.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still got
the next emergency vote is 7:55.
No, we're going
to take a vote on 7:53.
7:53.
Excuse me. Roll call.
Adams.
Hi. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, for all your work to make the parade more comfortable for both those in it, those watching it, and the businesses along the route. Thank you. Aye.
Leonard.
Thank you, Commissioner Adams. Just to address the issue of bathrooms, again, the frustrating part for me is listening to some of what was said is we have in the budget $750,000 to build restrooms in Old Town. It's been probably one of the most widely publicized efforts that the council has undertaken recently. We're in the middle of having the first model constructed. It will be installed by the middle of August in Old Town on Northwest 3rd and Cooch, to be followed shortly thereafter by, I think, more public restrooms than what any major city in the United States has in the downtown area. And so, again, I mean, I'm a person that's very open to listening to the issues that are here, but I do expect people, if they're going to go so far as try to disrupt our proceedings, to at least know what they're talking about, because it destroys your credibility with a sympathetic ear if I know that you're not at least doing your homework. So I'm appreciative of the support of the council on this effort, on this ordinance, and others related to public facilities. Aye.
Saltzman?
Good work, Commissioner Leonard.
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
We're 50 agenda items on the budget. You expect us to do that all across Friday?
You're out of order.
I just thought I'd...
You're out of order. Okay. Please read item 756. Excuse me, 755.
Apply for a grant from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, Regions 9 and 10, for the West Coast Collaborative Diesel Emissions Reduction Program.
Commissioner Saltzman.
The U.S. EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, is awarding grants for diesel emissions reduction programs. As the county has already been doing a lot of work in this area, the city has teamed up with them for this application for one of EPA's grants.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
Just Mike D.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Mike, you're not allowed to sit up at the table unless you're being testified. And
I signed up to testify.
You're not going to testify on this matter.
Okay.
It's already been voted on. Please return to your seat.
I feel that's a dilatory practice
Please
by you.
Please return to your vote.
I am.
Please read item 756. Pardon?
756.
I said return to your seat.
Okay, I heard that part.
756, authorized contract with Kemper Sports Management, Inc. for the management and development at Heron Lakes Golf Course.
Mr. Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. The ordinance under consideration today is to authorize Portland Parks and Recreation to sign a contract for the management and development of Heron Lakes Golf Courses, our two excellent courses in North Portland, with Kemper Management. Heron Lakes is a wonderful asset. The golf courses are a wonderful asset to our community and have tremendous potential to reach even more golfers and visitors through the provision of affordable, high-quality golf experiences to Portland's residents and visitors. Portland Parks and Recreation coordinated a process to select the next operator of the course, and John Zoller, the golf manager, and Todd Lofgren, our business development coordinator, are here to explain that.
Morning. My name is Todd Lofgren. I'm the business development coordinator for Portland Parks and Recreation. I'm here with my colleague, John Zoller, the golf manager. We just wanted to highlight this morning for you the process we went through for the selection and the evaluation process of the bids, and then John's going to highlight some of the key points of the agreement. Heron Lakes Golf Course and the players and visitors there, it's been a desire of theirs for over a decade to have a permanent clubhouse there. So we're really pleased to be here this morning to present this agreement to you. About a year ago, with citizen input, the citizen-led golf advisory committee and Portland Parks and Recreation staff, we designed a request for proposals with Bureau of Purchasing that went out in June of 2007. There were about 130 firms that reviewed that on the Bureau of Purchasing website, individuals, architectural firms, golf management firms. We ended up receiving two responsive bids, one from Heron Lakes Management, LLC, the current operator at the course, and one from Kemper Sports Management. We had a valuation committee of three citizens, our finance manager of Portland Parks and Recreation, and three staff from Portland Parks to evaluate those bids. They conducted interviews and then scored those proposals and the results of those interviews. The outcome of a total of 600 available points, 300 points went to Kemper Sports Management and 292 points for Heron Lakes Management, LLC. Per the request for proposal procedures, we entered into negotiation with the highest scoring proposer. So that was Kemper Sports Management. And we believe what we present to you today is a favorable agreement for the players and visitors at Heron Lakes Golf Course, as well as the city. Some of the highlights that I just want to point out to you that will be carried out under the agreement is that we will continue the current operating structure that we have at Heron Lakes. There'll be no additional cost to the city based on this agreement, and we hope to increase the level of play at the agreement and improve the services for the visitors and players. Part of this also will be the first step in having a new clubhouse, so we'll be doing a conceptual design and cost estimating for the new clubhouse there, and we'll be following the Mayor's Bureau Innovation Project public involvement procedures for that to ensure we have adequate public involvement through that process. So John is going to highlight some issues for the agreement.
Good morning, John Zoller, Director of Golf for Portland Parks and Recreation. I'll paraphrase this. I know there's a time crunch. Our Bureau believes that this agreement with Kemper will meet our golf program's needs of improving the facilities, continuing to offer affordable, high-quality golf experience to residents and visitors, and improving the overall health of the program. Nationally, Kemper is a recognized industry leader in golf course management and development with an excellent record of success and customer satisfaction. We can provide letters of recommendation if the council so wishes to review them. In taking on Heron Lakes operations, Kemper will meet with and assess the current staff and their job functions in consideration of retaining them as Kemper Sports Management employees. They have committed to provide all the necessary services associated with the management of day-to-day golf course operations, as well as services necessary to complete the planning, design, development of the new clubhouse and the other amenities at Heron Lakes. In these efforts, they have partnered with locally based small business entities, including Hanna-Barrietti Architects, Lango Hansen Landscape Architects, and Michael McCullough Architecture, among others. The term of the agreement is 5 years and may be extended for an additional 5 years at the city's discretion. In addition, the agreement may be terminated without penalty on its third anniversary. To ensure affordable, high-quality customer experiences at Heron Lakes, Portland Parks and Recreation has structured this agreement such that the Bureau will continue to set greens fee rates and the policies for golf course operation. In addition, city staff will continue to provide the maintenance on the golf course. In closing, I certainly would like to thank Heron Lakes LLC and their staff for their continued professionalism and dedication to providing a high-quality service to our customers at Heron Lake.
Questions from the commissioners? Do we have folks signed up testifying?
Yes, we do. We have 5 people signed up. First 3 are Kevin Biebheiser, Dale Bernards, and Mary Kinnick. Please come on up.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Yes, I'm Kevin Biebheiser, and the president of Heron Lakes Golf Club. And I want you to know that I'm the association that we've had with the existing concessionaire, which is Heron Lakes Management LLC, has been a very viable relationship for both of us. I see a successful, functional opportunity. I know you guys are blessed with a very nice opportunity between the two recipients that have proposed the RFP. And the idea that I can see is I like what I see and I can touch that. I'm sure that the men's club and the ladies' clubs will be able to continue to work with whoever you choose. But the idea of it is I do know what I like, I do know what I see, and the opportunity that we have with the existing concessionaire has been very nice, very favorable for everybody. They came in and they took this thing over, in my opinion, without a lot of future, and they were hopeful that their efforts would be rewarded, and I respect that. And I know Kemper has a very extinguished history in the golf business. I like the fact that Heron Lakes Management LLC is a local organization, and like I say, I see nothing but success for their future, as I do for the city of Portland. That's what I'd like to say.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Mary Kinnick. I'm president of the Heron Lakes Women's Golf Club. And I'm not here to endorse the proposal before you because our members really haven't reviewed it. We haven't had a discussion about it. So it's really my thoughts I'm sharing with you this morning. Mostly I want to share a perspective on the process to get to this point and also raise a couple concerns about the management contract. The Women's Club submitted a letter to Heron Lakes LLC, the other bidder, to include in their proposal to parks. While we did not endorse a proposal because we didn't have the opportunity to review any of the proposals before they were submitted, we did acknowledge that they were the only bidder to initiate a meeting with us to seek our views regarding the future design of the clubhouse and other enhancements. While Parks relies on the Golf Advisory Committee to serve as the eyes and ears of the public regarding the welfare of our golf courses, and their meetings are open to the public, we had hoped there would have been more scheduled opportunities for us to participate early on in the process, especially when the RFP was being developed and reviewed. But I will comment that we were very pleased with the content of the RFP. I have two concerns related to the proposed management agreement with Kemper Sports. On page 13, section 5.21, regarding phase one, which is the design and planning, the project planning process, reference is made to the requirement of, quote, sufficient public involvement, end quote, in the process. My understanding, as just was mentioned, I think by Todd Lofgren, is that the Bureau Innovation Project number 9 provides details of a public involvement tool that will be used to meet this requirement. Women's Club members trust this is the case and are very excited about the prospects of participation in the conceptual design phase of the new clubhouse. My other concern, and just was spoken to, I think, by John Zoller, shared by many of our members, has to do with maintaining the long-term affordability of play on the two courses at Heron. We're uncertain about the implications of the future greens fees, given the costs will be associated with constructing the new clubhouse and other enhancements worked out between Kemper Sports and the city. We understand that City Council will need to review and approve recommendations regarding these developments before proceeding to phase two of the process, so there will be time to consider such consequences at that time. I think I'll just move to one kind of final comment. I want to acknowledge the terrific improvements Heron Lakes LLC has made to the current facilities and the dedication of the current staff in supporting the needs of the Women's Club. Conditions have improved significantly since they came on board. In conclusion, we're very excited about moving forward on this project. Thank you.
Dear Mayor and Commissioners, my name is Dale Bernards, and I'm the managing partner of Heron Lakes Management LLC, the other approved party in the RFP process. I'm also a partner in Heron Lakes Golf LLC, the current concessionaire at Heron Lakes. I hope that everyone has had the opportunity to read the RFP and its scoring and evaluate the proposal made by Kemper Sports and by Heron Lakes Management. This is very important that you have read these proposals. I'd like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to manage Heron Lakes for the past year. Hopefully you have been impressed with our results. We were able to assist both the city and Barbara Woods during a difficult time of high payables and declining operations. We invested a lot of our own money into the city facilities. We extensively remodeled the kitchen, painted the exterior, and replaced the deck coating. We assumed over $200,000 of payables and brought all of them current. Our pursuit in the redevelopment of Heron Lakes Golf Course was in response to the welcome that we received from the Men's Club, the Women's Club, and the PYGA. These people are the heart of the City of Portland golf environment. We took the time to meet with each of the clubs, realizing they are important to the success of this golf operation. We talked about their needs, designed our project around their needs, and more important, listened to their ideas. Our understanding is that Kemper Sports did not even meet with the above. Why? Is that what the City of Portland wants to see? It is important that you understand the RFP process was flawed. The RFP was set up in a way where no one can compete with a national golf course management company. Was that the intention of the city? My first meeting with the city when we took over the course from Byron Wood Enterprises involved a conversation with Robin Grimwade where I quote, "Why are you guys even interested in taking over this operation? There is such a short time left and the city is leaning towards consolidating the management of all its courses. I ask you, was there a decision already made prior to the RFP? The reason I am here is that we have a personal commitment. We have built up a staff that is committed to the success of Heron Lakes. They want to come to work in the morning because they enjoy their job. We have made the operation profitable for the city and profitable for the people of Portland. Here are the other objections which we'd like you to consider. Those interested in the RFP were invited to attend a pre-submittal meeting on July 10th, 2007. During that meeting, it was announced by the City of Portland that the company was awarded the contract would be expected to take over the operation at the expiration of the existing agreement with Byron Woods. Part of the requirement was that the new concessionaire was to reimburse the old concessionaire for the cost of the fixtures and the merchandise. Heron Lakes Management LLC agreed to do this. Has Kemper Sports agreed to do this? We have not seen the final agreement, so we don't know what has been done or not done. This is not an open process because we have not been appraised of the final agreement between Kemper and the City of Portland. Subsequently, the City of Portland extended the approval time and entered into a management agreement with Heron Lakes Golf, LLC. the city agreed to a settlement agreement with Byron Woods Enterprises for $212,500. It was made public that Heron Lakes Management was willing to pay this amount. Are you expecting a check to be returned to you to the city of $212,500? Currently, the situation that we have at Heron Lakes is a management agreement. While it provides for stability for the concessionaire, it puts 100% of the burden on the city to control expenses. This leaves the city at a severe disadvantage concerning expenses. Kemper has no incentive to control the expenses. I quote from a San Francisco paper. From the San Francisco paper, the spend what you want language in the Kemper contract created the equivalent of a city credit card, and Kemper pushed the card to its maximum.
Are you about ready to conclude
I'm
your
now.
Testimony?
Yeah, I'm closing, yeah. I'd ask you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners, or commissioners, I'm sorry, what it takes to make a successful golf course. It's not the clubhouse, it's not the driving range, it's the people. We successfully outscored Kemper in this category. The citizens of Portland support Heron Lakes Management. In closing, if by chance you decide to reject this appeal, I would greatly appreciate your efforts to insist that Kemper continue to provide employment to my staff. I hope you have read the following, the RFP, the Kemper proposal, and the proposal from Heron Lakes Management before you make this decision.
Thank you, folks.
We have Don Carlson.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, my name is Don Carlson. I'm the chair of the Citizen Golf Advisory Committee for the Parks Bureau. Our job is to provide advice and counsel to the golf director, to the park and recreation director, the commissioner in charge, and ultimately on this situation to the council. We met yesterday and reviewed the contract with the golf director and Park Bureau staff. Had a long two-hour discussion about the ins and outs of the contract, and as a result of that meeting, your golf advisory committee voted unanimously to recommend that you adopt this ordinance and enter in a contract with Kemper Sports. I served on the selection committee along with two other golf advisory committee members, Felicia Trader and Bill McAllister. And we were impressed with a couple things with the Kemper proposal. One is their experience in terms of operating municipal courses throughout the country. And two, their ability and experience in delivering a clubhouse. But one thing that struck me about their advice to us when we met was that we really need to pay attention if we're going to build a clubhouse that it be an appropriate size facility, one that we can afford and that meets the needs of the golfers, but that we don't overbuild and we don't get a return on our investment. So that was part of my decision-making in terms of the recommendation I made in that process. Now, about the agreement, this is a sea change, in a sense, for the golf program in this community, the city's program. One, we're bringing in, this first time in my experience as a player over 30 years and a member of the Golf Advisory Committee, we're bringing in a national company to operate one of our venues. And two, the nature of the agreement, it's a different kind of agreement that we've used in the past. It's essentially a management agreement as distinct from a lease agreement where we lease our facilities for somebody to operate it as a business. And I think one of the concerns of your committee is that we feel that with this new kind of agreement, it's going to put more pressure on the city staff to pay attention to more of the transactional stuff in the operation of the system. We have to, all the revenue comes to us, but we have to control the expenses too. And we had a long discussion with your staff about this, and they feel sufficiently comfortable that the terms of the agreement plus their ability to do this will lead to a successful relationship. So, again, we're recommending that you go ahead with this. We do have concerns, but we do feel like your staff has costed this out, have said if we function correctly with this concessionaire, it'll be a net benefit to the program, and there will be net revenues at the end of this agreement. So I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Yes. A couple of questions. It might be to staff. I'm not sure. So what are the what are the incentives for Kemper to maximize costs appropriately and keep expenses down appropriately? Is question number one. Question number two is, who in the Bureau is going to be responsible?